I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. Inmates held in dry cells in Tasmanian prisons have been subjected to inhumane conditions in breach of United Nations guidelines, a report has found. The cells are used to retrieve contraband from people suspected to have concealed it internally and usually contain no water. State Custodial Inspector Richard Connock uncovered instances of people being held in there for up to 10 days with no window to the outside world and only 1 hour of exercise a day. There was no intercom in some of the cells, meaning inmates have no means of calling for help in an emergency. Inspector Connock says there is camera monitoring and physical checks by staff, but were not always reliable. He says these conditions are harsher than those imposed on people who are segregated for disciplinary reasons. Mr. Connock says the conditions breached the United Nations Nelson Mandela rule, stating all prisoners should be treated with the respect due to their inherent dignity and value as human beings. The report made more than a dozen recommendations around dry cell protocols, including intercoms and ensuring lights were turned off at night. Minister for Corrections and Rehabilitation, Madeleine Ogilvie, says all recommendations are being adopted. The rarely formed Puccini work, La Rodini, will feature Aboriginal soprano Nina Korba for its Melbourne season. Ms. Korba says she is relishing the idea of bringing her perspective as a Kawan, Kukugalanji and Waka Waka woman to her performance as Lizette. She says it's a privilege being invited to sing such a pivotal role.
Such a blessing and an honour that I am grateful for every single day. And I have to make mention of another First Nations soprano who's in this production, Sarah Prestwich. So it's not just me. We've got two holding the fort in this production, which is very exciting.
The future of waterways in New South Wales will be the focus for Indigenous communities in Armidale, Evans Head, Naruma and Wilcannia. It's all part of the New South Wales Government's Aboriginal Water Strategy. Today's workshop has already started and will go until 2 p.m. today, before travelling across New South Wales throughout August. US Vice President Kamala Harris has selected Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate in November's presidential election. Ms. Harris is set to be confirmed as the Democratic Party's nominee at its convention later this month. In a video posted to social media, she called Mr. Walz to ask him to join her campaign.
I want you to do this with me. Let's do this together. Would you be my running mate and let's get this thing on the road?
I would be honored, Madam Vice President.
The joy that you're bringing back to the country, the enthusiasm that's out there, it'll be a privilege to take this with you across the country.
Mr. Walz has served as Minnesota governor since 2018. Before that, he spent 12 years in the U.S. Congress, was a school teacher and an American football coach, and served in the Army National Guard. We'll have more coming up next.
Hello, Natasha Short here, inviting you to join me for Money Talks. It's the latest series of conversations in partnership between Kibble Jigars and Warangari Media. It features interviews and advice on all things money. We all need it, but how do we best manage it? How do we protect and grow it to gain control of our finances and improve the lives of our family and communities? And a lot more. Join me for Money Talks on Warangari Media, Galari, Packham Network and the National Indigenous Radio Service, bringing all us mob together around money.
To sport, and at the Paris Olympics, the Boomers have crashed out of the games after a 95-90 overtime loss to Serbia last night. The Boomers had a dream start with a 31-17 lead at the end of the first quarter and kept the lead with 54-42 at half time. The Boomers fumbled the second half, losing their lead, and were down 2 points with seconds on the clock. An unbelievable fadeaway shot by Paddy Mills over the head of Nikola Jokic threw the game into overtime. However, three-time NBA MVP Jokic asserted his dominance to carry Serbia to the quarterfinal win. Australia's women's beach volleyball duo Taliqua Clancy and Maria Faiatace del Sola are through to the semi-finals after beating Switzerland 2-1 this morning. The quarterfinals will start on Friday. In sailing, Connor Nicholas and Nia Gerwood are through to tonight's medal race after finishing up the opening series last night in ninth place.
Queensland's big build is all go. We're getting to work right across the state, which might mean some disruptions as we roll out a 10-year plan to build more hospitals and upgraded schools, more housing, better transport, and more renewable energy. With Queensland growing, now's the time to future-proof the lifestyle we all love. To find out more about big build projects on the go near you, search Queensland Big Build. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane. Station sponsor.
You're not sure who to turn to for legal advice? Want someone who knows what you and your mob need? Need to find someone you can trust? Call Marawa Law. They are the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm and the legal advisor of choice for government, business and traditional owner groups in the commercial and Indigenous law sector. They are 100% Indigenous owned and help their clients with the right advice in native title, joint ventures, leasing, property and lots more. Choose a law firm that understands you, Marawa Law. Visit marawalaw.com.au or call today on 07 404 130 88.
Station sponsor.
Little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. A big shout out to the NERS team, Too Deadly. All right, Gundle released by Big Eye Theatre and the Woolgarakaba Walkabouts. And we're going to catch up a yarn there with Annie Ross Saylor, who's a part of the Big Eye Theatre. Got Arnie on the line. Arnie, good morning. How are you?
Very good, Trev. Yeah, been a bit cold, but good weather.
Good weather, yeah. Thank you very much. You're based in Townsville?
Based in Townsville, yes. Big Eye Theatre's been operating for about 30 years and always through our theatre and dance, you know, we tell a lot of stories of country and mob.
Okay, Too Deadly. We'll go into that, Arnie. Can you let the mob know who your mob were you from, Art?
Yeah, well, big connection up there in Cairns. I belong to all the Oliver family up there with brother Philip Oliver, yes. Schooner, Jimmy, all led by dads from Cairns. Stephen Oliver, he was the firstborn son of Oliver and Charlotte Oliver. So we all Yalanji mob.
Yes.
And then for me, for my mum's side, we all Wanyi. So we Hookies and Spartans. And also Murray from the Curry.
Murray from the Curry. Connection there, Art.
Yeah,
and Wanyi mob. Yeah, too beautiful. Thank you. Good to be yarning with you. So you're saying Big Eye Theatre's been operating for 30 years?
Yeah, you know, pretty much just doing it off our own back. But keeping the stories going, I've been involved for, I mean, I'm seeing grandchildren now, three generations coming through, you know, with the group that we've got. And So doing it off our own back, was never really funded by anything, but, you know, with mob getting together and wanting to do stuff, we make it happen.
All right, fantastic. Now, we're talking about the release, Big Eye Theatre, of the Woolgarakaba Walkabouts. Can you tell us about this, please?
Yeah, look, we all know that, you know, it's a story of place and for Strand Park, everybody down Deadly Strand Park, you know, and a lot of things happen down there. And, but beforehand, I mean, it was a lagoon.
Yes.
And the Brolgas, of course, you know, are symbolic down there. And so with the lagoon, it was transformed into the Strand Park. And for first visitors, you know, when they first come here, and countrymen have been living there for thousands of years and doing ceremony and a lifestyle that was, you know, how our mob done things, hunting, gathering, sharing everything there. And right there now with the Strand Park, we've got the story of Gundle released. And we come across the story a couple of years ago and I shared it to Kate from Umbrella Studio. So with permission of the Wagarugaba traditional owners here, we were able to then proceed and go ahead with the story of, and so the dance is being presented in telling the story of the women and children, the lifestyle of gathering, men hunting, fishing, and then the Gundal release. That's the first time for the dance to be presented in over 100 years that was performed last down there. And so it's that's why we thought, well, Gundal release, you know, we're just opening the story up now and giving, and for us as First Nations mob, to recognise that place as Wambaluna, traditional name.
Look, Auntie, we are storytellers, and look, whether we use song, dance, theatre, what have you, the stories need to be told, and this is the true story of the lagoon, the history of the lagoon, yes?
Absolutely. Look, and people just can't imagine how it was a lagoon there, and so we done some research and got photos of the lagoon. It was huge, and so it's a little bit of work behind the scenes, but it's telling the story, and look, you know, what had happened then, because when the visitors arrived, you know, they just took over the lagoon, chopped down all the trees to build their houses and used it for firewood. And, of course, then that upset the whole ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And by the late 1930s, it became like a swampland and polluted and smelly. And back then in 1930, the community here was asking council to fill it in. So, of course, it had a great big landfill, and then they developed the park to what it is today. So people don't know that story, you know. Of, that was something taken away from traditional owners. So for place, people and country, this is what the basis of our story is all about tonight through dance.
Sonny Ross, when you look at it, it's a sacred site, isn't it?
Oh, look, yeah, especially, you know, for how our mob did business.
Exactly.
And it was a way of life and a special place, very special place. So after tonight, people will have a different feeling of the place, of the space, of what it meant to our mob to do their ceremonies and dance and their stories sitting around there, you know. And so for the Wagarugaba people of Gurrunbil, Burra, Townsville.
Yes,
it's very symbolic because they would, as the canoe people, that's what it means, you know, that they would come across from Yumbin and Magnetic Island and travel across there and do business over here now, right around that lagoon area, Kissing Point, all around the foreshores of Townsville.
And as I always said, Australia's got a history, good or bad, black or white, but the history is the history, and we need to tell the history, especially the black side, which is always swept underneath the carpet, eh, Auntie?
Absolutely. And look, it is the truth telling. It is what happened, you know, that was taken away from countrymen, taken away, how everything was taken away throughout this whole country of ours, you know, whether it's, you know, from the desert to the sea. Things were taken, and the untold stories, the truth telling of how it was done as well. And, you know, but we're all ready, everybody's ready to embrace this here now because we keep pushing forward. But bigger theatre, like I said, we've been around for 30-plus years. And very small, but, you know, very big. When we come out with something that we want to present and showcase, we make sure we do that. You know, a few years ago, we done a reenactment of the Strike of 57 of the Palm Island story for the 50-year celebration. So unless we got, you know, we got to use our arts as our vehicle to be able to deliver these stories.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, our culture is always, everything is the arts, the storytelling, the paintings, the artwork, the dance. Everything is all interwoven.
It is, it is. And so we're talking about actors. Are we talking young and old?
Young and old. Look, we've got babies, you know, out there dancing. And we done a tech and full dress rehearsal last night. And just watching those little ones, and I thought, well, you know, at least these little ones now are growing up into the truth of this story, and they're dancing the dance now. So from Big Eye Theatre's point of view, and with Wagarugaba walkabouts, we've got all our little children in there right up to our elders who are participating and performing in this presentation.
How long is the show going for?
Well, we kick off at 5:30. We have some pre-entertainment, some deadly mob going to get up and sing some songs and with the Europon, and then we have the comet dances. And, of course, because of that time, we're talking about the historical stuff, and but we have invited our Deadly Torres Strait Island dancers as our pre-entertainment to really get the show going.
Yes.
And make some noise and sing their beautiful songs. And then we got some storytelling. So there's a whole lot with our blackout markets. Our mob will be there selling all their deadly products. And then, of course, some deadly kai kai with some traditional food. So it's a good night. We're looking forward to it. And the punk festival, of course, is Pop Up North Queensland.
Yep.
And through Umbrella Studio. And another beautiful project that they're doing as well is Wayfinders. They're recognising all the elders of the region and putting their story and their pictures on great big billboards from Ingham to Charters Towers and throughout Townsville.
Yeah, beautiful. A great space, Arnie. Thank you very much for sharing. A big shout out to Big Eye Theatre. So fantastic. 30 years and telling the real stories. That's what it's all about. Arnie, you take care. We'll yarn soon. All the best to you. You deadly Curry Murray.
you too, deadly Curry Murray. Up in Cairns. Good country, deadly.
All right, darling. You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye then.
Deadly yarn there. That's Arnie Ross Saylor, Big Eye Theatre, and the release of Gundle. And that's a theatre by Walkabouts, and telling the true story of the lagoon that was there, the strand in Townsville there. Fantastic. Good yarns. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbleprint Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly. National Talk Black.
Don't let We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor. Murray from the Curry, call in on 1-800-422-416. 98.7 FM BBM.
natives of the land we see. We thank the Lord for who we are. We are the natives of the land we see.
Thinking about your body next to mine. Butterflies gonna keep on flying.
Hey, you love, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too, Delhi. Now, disability advocates call for Minister Shorten to live up to NDIS pricing promises. Talking about left in the dark, we need to set a plan of attack, but we need to know the plan is what we're talking about here. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn there with Mark Ten, CEO of Spinal Life Australia on the line. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Glad to be here.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, my friend. And where are you based, Mark?
I'm based in Brisbane. We've got a great facility and staff and volleys up there in Spinal Life Australia, the Healthy Living Centre in Lake Street.
In Cairns. Yeah, beautiful. Fantastic. Look, a fantastic organisation looking after all people with disability. Now, you're calling out for the Minister Shorten to live up to NDIS pricing promises. Are you in the dark a little bit in regarding funding, or don't know where you're at, or what's happening there, Mark?
Well, there's always level of funding is always an issue, but here it's really important. We got the pricing guide, which is where our revenue comes from, on Friday lunchtime, the last financial, the last day in the financial year. Yeah. We run a business like any other operation.
Yes.
We need to put our budgets together, go through the staff, through the executive, then to the board, and be done in a proper process, ready for the 1st of July. You can't get this
over the weekend. Not over the weekend.
Over the weekend.
Sunday.
In 2 days. And we had to go into the financial year with basically a guess budget for revenue, which is really bad. And the government should just, they're inept. They should get their act together.
Well, to run this country is running a business. And so you're an organisation, virtually a business entity, and you need to plan it. Well, Australian government should be doing the same as well in regard to funding. So your money's your tool. Exactly, and know how to work the tool in the so-called the vehicle that you're driving, yes?
If the government wants good governance to organisations like ourselves, that's what we should be aiming for. Good governance needs the data, should be provided in a reasonable time frame. It should have been last a month, maybe 6 weeks before, but a month before minimum to actually, so we could go through the proper process and go through all our expenses, go through our revenue, and make sure we go through a sustainable, balanced budget. That didn't happen because the government didn't supply the information on Friday. It's really bad governance from this government, federal government. They need to do better.
Well, they need to do better. So with that, here we are in the beginning of July. July 1 has passed. You've got your finance, you've got the funding?
Well, we've got some funding. We know about where it's coming from.
Yes.
Mind you, the increases are less than CPI in a lot of areas. So we've had to fund that out of reserves.
Yes.
What the government will find out, if they keep going this way, there'll be providers, and there's two in Tasmania in the last few weeks gone down the tube, there'll be providers, quality providers, will go out the back door because they've used up all their reserves, their balance sheet, and they've got nowhere to make up the gap. We've all made up the gap the last few years while the government's been playing around with pricing. But now there'll be agencies like ourselves go out the back door and they'll be stuck with unqualified, uncredentialed carers providing the care to people. That's good when things are good, but not when things are bad.
Well, that's the government not looking after Australians with disability. They virtually left them swinging in the breeze, is what you're saying.
They're not left with quality care. Look, as I said, when everything's going okay, you can get mostly get around it using someone off the internet.
Sure.
But when things, they need that patient needs some real help, and they don't have a person who's got the care and the qualifications and the training, that's where we're in trouble. The government should do better with that and support people who have the training and the quality care turning up people's doorstep. That's what they need to do.
That's what they need to do. So that's where we're at, my friend. So in regard to conversations going on, people at the table, ministers at the table? Is Minister Shorten talking
to
NDIS?
I think he hears but doesn't listen, frankly. As I say, I'm a very big supporter of Bill Shorten when he first got in, because he did sort out some of the stuff in the NDIS.
Sure.
But now I see things happening. There's people who are waiting for quotes from their wheelchair to be approved from November last year.
Yeah, ridiculous.
It's okay if you're in the leather seat in Canberra in Parliament, but there's people who need that apparatus and equipment.
Mm.
They've got quotes been sitting around in NDIA for 6 months.
Yeah.
Come on, do better. Sort the staff out or the management out or the executive out so you can get better outcomes more efficiently and at less cost.
Well, exactly. Like I said, we don't plan to fail. We just fail to plan. We can't set the plan of attack if we haven't got the funding, the budget in front of us, at least a month in advance, not a weekend in advance.
Exactly. And that's what we're on about. It's something that can be fixed very easily. And I don't know why the government can't see that. It's very disappointing. And we've got such thin margins. We need that information before, because it means the difference between being here the next week or going broke. And the government needs to support its quality providers across the country, provide that information earlier, and we'll all be happy.
Yep. Now, Mark, you're the CEO of Spinal Life Australia. You have a board of directors, or you have hierarchies there?
Yes. Yeah, we have a board of directors. I've got a great board. It's a volunteer board currently. They're really good, put a big effort in. They're very balanced in their view. They have a little bit of risk. But their number one thing is they want to make sure we provide quality services to the people who need us. And now we just need to be sustainable.
Sure. And the board of directors, have they got conversations with Minister Shorten?
No. We're using the industry peak groups at the moment to try and get those conversations. By the way, you know, I've spooked this story, you might say, since Friday.
Yep.
And I think I'm sure it will start to get the minister's attention, because we're
not
saying anything that's unreasonable.
Sure.
That's what we need. Trevor, you've been very helpful. Get that message out.
Yes.
Because there's voters out there who are people with disabilities who need better care and quality care long term. So, Minister Shorten, I'm happy to debate this publicly. We'll have a meeting and help sort it out.
Thank you. Well, they are listening. This is goes across country, this program, and they do listen to this program. Thank you for your yarn, Mark. Look, stay strong. All the best. Stay warm, and we'll yarn soon, Mark.
Be sure we'll have a yarn. Thanks a lot for supporting us. Thanks, Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye. Little yarn there. Mark Townsend, his name is, CEO of Spinal Life Australia. Fired up, as you said. Got the so-called budget received on the Friday before Monday, 1 July, to organise their so-called budget for the weekend. And as Mark Townsend, CEO of Spinal Life Australia, is saying, we need the money, we need to know the money and how much we're getting well in advance, not the weekend before the money comes out, so to speak, so we can set the plan of attack. And you would think that would be an A1 strategy in regarding business, running a business. So I believe the government has dropped the ball there. So Minister Shorten, hope you're listening, and please reach out to NDIS and act on the pricing promises. There it is, your daily program. Here's National Talk Black. Yarn up strong here. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. National Talk Black, too deadly.
Malak niliway mula njarjar tamaji oman kandai kandai mauriala yeo koko malak niliway moyo bulay oh,
Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe, during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wuchopperen's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperen on 40801080 to learn more.
Hey, what's good on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Roll my toy, Salasiyakam, killing and pillaging, they don't give a damn. Burning the villagers in a demonic craze. Broadsword knives and their muskets ablaze. War Salasiyakam, listen to my drum.
Roll my toy, party, my toy, party, roll my toy, party.
Salasiyakam, Pia Dramiriam from Lasendam. Run to the south, Yabi Alam. An old man and his wife were hacked with a knife. Oh, Salasiyakam, listen to my drum. Salasiyakam, Kometa Meuram from Sebek to Kiam. Might get their bones lay exposed to bleach. In the sun, there's blood on the beach. War Salasiyakam, listen to my drum. Your future's bright at last.
remember your past. You will make those same mistakes again. Your future's bright at last. But if you forget your past, you will make those same mistakes again. You lay buried on the shores of Werbadu. I hear your spirit cry like the call of the boo. You call to me, come listen to my drum. You call to me, come listen to my drum. My drum,
we got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. A big shout out to NERS. Thank you very much. Allow us to go across the airwaves. Yarn up strong, you mob. Too deadly. I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Sister. We're talking Mal Brown, and she's author of her book, Shades of Me, and it's out now. And I've got Sister Mal on the line. Mal, good morning, Sister. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I am very well. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Sister, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Excellent, thanks. Look, I'm from Ngunnawal country, which is Canberra, but currently and hopefully for a long, long time, living on Bundjalung country, which is far northern New South Wales, up along the coast, up near that beautiful Byron Bay area.
All right, fantastic, beautiful. So we're talking about your deadly book, congratulations, Shades of Me, My Many Lives Through Many Dreamings. Look, in a gripping Australian story published in NAIDOC Week, 4th and 12th of July, 2024, so time is everything in life, so good the book is coming out now. So tell us about Shades of Me, my sister.
Shades of Me covers probably four different areas in my life. First of all, covers some pretty, you know, disturbing, I guess, or sad family and domestic violence. Goes on to talk about, you know, discovering my identity as being an Aboriginal woman, then goes on to... I've worked in child protection most of my life, so talking about that, and then going on to, I guess, every good story's got to end in a love story, doesn't it, Trevor?
Okay, and you in love. Yep. Let's get straight to the love story. Shut up.
So I've got something for everybody there, you know?
Which is good. Fantastic, you know? And look, we all got a story to tell, and we as black people, we are storytellers. So here you just put it in the words, put it in a book, and look, motivate and inspires other people to do the same. But tell us about Shades of Me, and when you talk about the four sides of your story, you talk about working with children and domestic violence upon yourself and what have you. Look, the book becomes a tool, bridge builder, guiding, helping people, especially women in this situation, yes?
Yeah, look, it does, Trevor, and I think the interesting part is that what it does, it takes you through, you know, growing up with some, you know, living in some fairly, you know, big domestic violence, and then choosing a relationship that was very violent as well. And I think it talks through that, you know, we as not only women, but men experience domestic violence as
yes,
well.
Yes.
But for me, it was, it took me quite a long time to realise that it wasn't normal. Because if you grow up in a home where family violence, domestic violence is part of your life.
You think it's a norm.
Going on. Yeah, it becomes so normal. So when you move into, or when I moved into a relationship that was fairly violent, it was better than home. Well, I thought in my head was better than home. So, you know, you justify living in that. And, you know, I think the book, when I'm talking about that stage of my life, just says, you know, let's not be hard on ourselves as women. Because I'm speaking on behalf of Aboriginal women here, or on behalf of myself as an Aboriginal woman, let's not be hard on ourselves. We did the best we can.
Sure.
And sometimes we are lucky enough to be able to move out of that. And for those of us that moved out of that, which is my story, it tells that story.
Yeah, so important. And here we are in the 21st century. And when we talk about domestic violence, look, it is still upon us. And we need to stamp it out. And we need every tool available. And this book becomes another tool, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And particularly today, which is really sad that it's been over the past few months that it's become a real topic of interest, which is sad it's taken this long. But today, right here, right now, this book could be something for people to go, okay, I get it. I understand what my behaviour is about, why I continue to stay in this relationship, and maybe hear some ideas that we could, I could use, or somebody could use to move beyond that.
Yeah, beautiful.
And if not, you know, Trevor, that's okay too. Let's not judge people.
Of course.
That's not what this is about.
Well, exactly. Well, everyone's got their story to tell. Everyone's in their own life, in their own story, so to speak. And it just opens the door, so to speak, or the opportunity, or, you know, it gives them another thought process, if that's the case, you know, to make decisions and strong decisions in regard to where they're at, yes?
Absolutely. And that's right. My story was good in the sense that as I was an adult choosing a domestic violence relationship, I didn't have children at that point, so I didn't expose my children to domestic violence, which was, you know, thank you to the ancestors for putting me in that position.
Exactly,
you know,
ancestors.
You.
Yeah, beautiful. And you say it ended with a good story. So yes, Mel Brown is in love.
Oh yeah,
good.
I was so lucky. Look, I found it twice. I found it a couple of times. You know, we'll all say we found it a number of times in our lives. But found it once, which was my first time of realising that my relationship that I was living in prior to that was really toxic.
Yep.
And that is the person that I had my children with. And then, you know, someone else walked into my life and that was my, you know, if you believe that, you know, that soulmate stuff that the ancestor sometimes puts right in your face, well, then that's what happened to me. And that's where my story is now and will end that way as well.
And what's his name, Mel?
His name's Michael.
And big shout out, Michael.
Amazing man.
Big shout out, Michael.
Walked into my life
and
just threw me off, just like, here I am. It's just like, well, no, here you can't be because I'm married happily.
Good. Fantastic, fantastic. Yeah, there is true love out there and the right person is out there for everybody, isn't there?
There is. Well, I hope that there is.
Sure.
I really hope that there is.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing. So, Shades of Me, the book is out now. Where can people purchase the book, sister?
Or online. I mean, you just put Shades of Me online and it's everywhere just about. Most bookstores should have it in by now. And if not, just go to Gilding Street Press and it will come up there and you can buy it online there.
Fantastic. Mel, great talking with you, my sister. Congratulations. You've been the best you did you can be. Fantastic. Using book as a tool, as a vehicle to help and guide other people, but also a good platform for yourself in regarding your life and your future as well, my sister.
Thank you, Trevor. Thank you so much for having me on this morning.
You keep small and smiling. You stay warm and we'll yarn soon, sis.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Take care, Mel. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Beautiful yarn, Deadly Yarn there. Mal Brown, her name is, Deadly Sister, author, Shades of Me. The book is out now, My Many Lives Through Many Dreamings. So do check it out. And it's a book that's come out, up to, out just in time, Is Everything Alive. It came out during NAIDOC Week, which kicks off next week. Fantastic. 4th and 12th of July. So two Deadly Mob. So do check it out. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn Up Strong here. Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. And a big shout-out to NERS, National News Radio Service, and we come to you from BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. It is National Talk Black, Too Deadly.
I try to keep an open mind, but it's floating in between the city lights. How can that be? Living on a rock my whole life, I can't stand dwelling on a thought like this. I need to show what I got to be better. The good time will last forever. Well, I got something new.
I got something new.
You gotta keep pushing,
gotta keep
to get
pushing
where you wanna be. Do what you gotta do. Be who you wanna be. Show.
I need to show.
Show what I got to be better.
Show what I got. Show what I got to be better.
I need to show. What you did for me.
Doing what you did for me.
Realize if you go out of your way.
Out of your way.
Skip a few fears and listen to the rhythm
chanting
in your ears. Show what I got to be better.
Oh, yeah.
I need to show.